Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We are talking about the heroes of faith. We're currently talking about the Apostle Paul, or Saul, as he was known when he got called. Incredible story. Guys killing Christians professionally. He's a Pharisee of a Pharisee. He knows the Old Testament frontwards and backwards. He believed with all of his heart that Jesus was a cult, and his followers were so wrong. And he got papers from his leaders to go out and arrest and kill Christians. Now, this guy was a professional hitman. The guy who writes 2/3 of the New Testament, praising the Holy Ghost more than anybody, is a professional hitman. God has a great sense of humor. So God goes out, and as he's going out to kill Christians, he's got his whole troop with him. God knocks him off his donkey, blinds him, and appears to him. And Saul said, "Who are you?" So "I'm the man you're persecuting. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the one you're persecuting." So 3 days later, he's in a house. He's still blind, and God sends a man over to him to lay hands on him. He gets his sight back. And so all of a sudden now he's going great. He's healed. And so he goes to the local synagogue and he's telling his testimony. Now, this is a guy who's a professional hitman. He's been arresting, imprisoning, and killing Christians. That's what he does. But now he's in the synagogue preaching Jesus, giving his testimony. "Jesus has appeared to me." And man, that must have really stretched everybody. So next thing you know, he's out there and all of a sudden God calls him out. He goes to Arabia for 3 years. He's out in Arabia and he's pouring over the scriptures about God prophesying about his son coming to earth. So he's going through the Old Testament script. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. It's all these scriptures, all the scriptures in the Old Testament about God prophesying. Isaiah, you know, talked about it a lot. "I'm going to send my son to earth. He's going to save his men from his sins." And so that's what he's pouring over. So for some time, you know, in Acts chapter 9, Saul worshiped with the disciples and taught in the synagogues, telling all of his new friends goodbye. And then he goes to Arabia, then he comes back. Saul comes back to Damascus and preached even more boldly than he had before 3 years earlier. Even the Jewish teachers who did not believe in Jesus could not prove that Saul's teachings were wrong. I mean, he is very smart. I mean, he was a Pharisee. Well, now he's got born again. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He's been 3 years in the wilderness pouring over scriptures. He's coming back, and none of the Jewish leaders, they can't contend with him. He's overwhelming. He's going through all the scriptures that they thought they knew, but Paul's given a different revelation to it. This made the Jewish rulers very angry, and they planned to kill Saul. So at each city gate, they placed guards with orders to kill Saul if he tried to leave the city. They planned to get rid of him at all costs. Saul heard about their plans. Believers hid him by night until night came. They took him to a building, the top city wall, and he climbed up into a large basket, and his friends lowered him over to the ground outside the wall, and Saul escaped. They were planning to kill him, but he escaped. Well, now he's thinking, "Now where am I going to go?" The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees of Jerusalem were no longer his friends. People that had been his colleagues, his best friends, he'd worked with, he believed what they believed, they're no longer his friends. 3 years had passed since they had seen him in Damascus. Then went to arrest the believers. He's not arresting a single one. Instead, he became a believer himself. So some of the apostles were still in Jerusalem. Saul longed to tell them how the love of Jesus had changed his heart and his life. With this in mind, he started out with Jerusalem. But the apostles did not welcome Saul when he arrived. You got to imagine this. He's had a revelation. So he's going, "I'm one of you now." I said, "No, you're not. We know you. You kill Christians." And so they were afraid of him. They thought it was just a trick. He's using this as a trick to capture us. He's treated other believers roughly, caused some of them even to be killed. The apostles did not want to have anything to do with him. Saul must have been disappointed. At last, Saul found a friend and a kind-hearted guy named Barnabas. And boy, this is where it started a great relationship. Barnabas took Saul to the apostles. Told them what had happened to Saul on the road to Damascus, how the Lord had appeared to Saul, and they'd preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. After this, the church in Jerusalem received Saul gladly. They were glad that God had changed the enemy into a true friend. For 15 days, Saul stayed in Jerusalem and met with the believers. He even went to the synagogues where he had once seized followers of Jesus. He taught them boldly about Jesus Christ. When the chief priests and rulers heard that Saul was in Jerusalem, they were sideways to themselves. Man, were they mad. How dare Saul speak in the name of Jesus? And once they began to plan to kill him. While Saul was in the temple praying, the Lord told him, "Hurry, Saul, get out of Jerusalem quickly, for the Jews will not believe your testimony of me." Now, can you believe this? He's had a revelation. I met Jesus on the road, got knocked off my donkey, went blind for 3 days, you know, had a believer lay hands on me. I gave my testimony for several days down in the temple. Then I went to Arabia for 3 years, been poring over scriptures, and realized who I am in Christ, came back, didn't have to convince other people who I was. And so, you mean, the world is just spinning like a whirlwind around him. All of a sudden, God says, "No, they're not going to believe you. They're not going to believe you. You've got to get out of Jerusalem." He said, "They don't believe you." Saul answered, "Lord, they know how I imprisoned those who beat in believers. They know that when Stephen was stoned for preaching your name, I was there. I had him stoned. I even held their coats while they killed him." Again, the Lord said, "Saul, go away. I will send you far from here to be my witness to the Gentiles." When the apostles found out Saul's life was in danger, they took him to the city of Caesarea on the seacoast, put him on a ship bound for Tarsus, the city of his birth, and they sent him away. So after Saul left Jerusalem, things quieted down, but the church continued to grow in every city and every village where the gospel was preached. And so Paul's going out, man, he's laying hands on sick, he's preaching the gospel, miracles are happening, people are turning to the Lord. It's like, man, revival was unleashed. Now you got to jump down, you got to read through Acts, because this is an incredible story. One of the greatest things I ever did, just go from Acts 1 to the book of Acts, how the church was birthed. What God did, the miracles that happened. God was moving like a freight train. Well, all of a sudden, you know, God sees Paul, what he's doing. It's like, okay, he's going to send him a friend. So in Acts chapter 11, it talks about many believers fled their cities and nearby countries, you know, because it became dangerous with them in Jerusalem. Because, man, there's persecution of Christians. Whenever they went and they told about Jesus, many heard, believed in Jesus also. I mean, people being saved by the bucket loads. With all the threats, with all the persecution, with all the things going on, there's more believers than there's ever been. So some of the believers fled north to the country of Syria, a large city of Antioch, and they made their homes there. But from the very first, they preached about Jesus, both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Many who heard believed and turned to the Lord. Many, many got saved. Man, we're talking about revival. It's like a Billy Graham revival. It won't stop. It's just going on. So when the church of Jerusalem heard about the believers at Antioch, they sent Barnabas to visit with them. They took several days to get to Antioch, and as soon as they reached the city, he wanted to meet with the believers. How impressed he was with the great number of Gentiles who now believed in Jesus. Because this one, they didn't know it was for the Gentiles. They thought it was just for the Jews. Thought God's doing this for the Jews. No, he's doing it for everybody. So we rejoiced and encouraged them to serve the Lord with all their hearts. The believers brought their friends and their neighborhoods to hear Barnabas preach, and many people were won to the Lord. The church of Antioch was growing so fast that Barnabas needed more helpers. He remembered that God had called Saul to preach to the Gentiles. So Saul was now in his hometown of Tarsus, not far from Antioch, and Barnabas decided to go see Saul. Now here's a guy. He realized that, man, somebody's opened the floodgates. Man, I'm preaching like I've never preached. People are getting saved by the bucket loads, believers and Gentile believers. And so all of a sudden he hears about this other guy named Saul, now Paul, you know. He said, man, I need to meet this guy. We seem to be doing the same thing. God must be doing the same thing. There's two of us doing the same thing. So he decides to go meet with him. So he did this. So Barnabas and Saul were glad to see each other. And Barnabas did not return to Antioch alone, but Saul came with him. For a whole year, the two preached the gospel there and encouraged the believers. Now, man, you talk about a tag team. Man, oh, man, that must have been something. The townspeople noticed that the people who believed in Christ acted differently from other people. They begin to call the believers Christians because they acted like Christ. Now, isn't that something? They called them Christians because they acted like Christ. Prophets from Jerusalem came out in the church at Antioch, and they said God had showed them there was to be a great famine throughout all the lands. Time passed. A great famine did come. Word reached the church of Antioch that the believers of Judea were hungry and in need, and a great offering was taken up. Now, the church chose Barnabas and Saul to take this offering to the saints at Jerusalem. When Barnabas and Saul arrived in Jerusalem with the offering, they probably stayed at Mary's home. She's one of Barnabas' relatives. When the two got ready to go back to Antioch, Barnabas and Saul invited Mary's son, John Mark, to go with them. The young man was very, very much wanting to work for the Lord, and he was glad to go with them. Said goodbye to his friends, and he goes with Barnabas and Saul. Later on, John Mark became a fine gospel worker and carried the gospel to heathen lands. Finally, he wrote the gospel according to St. Mark, and you read the stories that he wrote about it. And he said, I mean, all these, when you read through the Bible, one of the greatest things I got to do when I first went to Bible school was learn, like, okay, you got all these different authors, 40 different authors, 60 different books. It's like, it's the same story. God is not confused. He's using everybody. Everybody's getting involved. So all of a sudden you got Barnabas and Saul, and they're the first what we call missionaries. There was no term missionary. What is that? We're on a mission. We're reaching the lost world. So around Acts 13, it picks up that story. It said the church of Antioch grew so large that it took several teachers to minister to the people. In other words, we can't just have one. We got them all over the place. We can't get them in one room. There's no building big enough. So we got teachers everywhere. And they met with Barnabas and Saul to pray for the work of the church. One time they prayed together, and the Holy Spirit told them, release Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them to do. And the teachers understood that God wanted Barnabas and Saul to go to faraway countries and preach the gospel. They'd never done that before. So the church at Antioch hated to see him go, but they felt that God had a special work for them to do, and so they laid hands on them, and they sent them out, and they prayed for them. And the two men sent on their first missionary journey with them with Barnabas and his nephew John Mark. The first stopping place was the island of Cyprus. Man, if you could only have been there, it must have been something. They preached about Jesus in the cities of Salamis and Paphos. And Paphos, the Roman governor, Sergius Paulus, sent for them. He, too, wanted to hear the word of God. The Roman governor wants to hear the word of God. So when the two missionaries came, the governor said, listen eagerly. And so eagerly that a magician who was watching that feared Sergius, he wanted to become a Christian. Because the magician did not want this to happen, he tried to turn the governor's attention to other things. So all of a sudden you realize, hey, man, we got the good news. Everybody wants to hear. The governor likes us. Good things are happening. And also you got people who are demonic. The devil's always working. It's like two barracuda swimming side by side in the ocean. Where God's moving, the devil's moving. Where the devil's moving, God's moving. And God will not be outdone. And so he said, Saul, from the time was called Paul. From this time on, when he's down there at the city in Antioch, he was called Paul. Notice the magician was trying to do. The Holy Spirit filled Paul, and he looked straight, and the magician said, you enemy of all righteousness, you will never stop trying to oppose the way of the Lord. Because you have tried to turn people away from the Lord, you will be blind for a time. From that moment on, the man could not see anything, and he asked for someone to lead him by the hand. And so when Paul saw this, he was astonished. At once, he believed in the power of God and in Jesus, his son. Now, they don't put that in the Easter movie. That's an incredible story. After the Roman governor believed in Christ, the missionaries took a ship, Perga, in Asia Minor. Here, John Mark left them and returned home to Jerusalem. Barnabas and Paul went on to another city called Antioch. So you pick up in verse 14. It's like it's an incredible story. If you just sit down and just start reading and just kind of read through it. People ask me, what kind of Bible do you read? I said, well, I read the New Living Translation. I still study the King James. Most all books and reference books come from the King James. I still read the King James. But I really don't understand. I like a modern version. So people say, what kind of Bible do you do? Well, I read the New Living Translation. It's like Grease Banana Peel. I really like the New Living Translation. And if you just read the stories, it makes sense. The gospel is written for simple-minded people, God said. So if you just get your Bible open, just read a proverb a day. Start with that. If you read a proverb a day, man, your life will change. It'll flip upside down within a month. But then once you start going in and start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you get to the book of Acts where we are now, the church began to explode. Things begin to change. Miracles begin to happen. And so it says in Antioch, Asia Minor, Barnabas found a Jewish synagogue. On the Sabbath, they went there to worship with the Jews. When the rulers of the synagogue saw these strangers, they told them, you men and brethren, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, speak to them. And they were invited, hey, share. We'd like to hear. At this invitation, Paul stood up and told them about Jesus and how he died. and the resurrection, and how they could have forgiveness of their sins. When Paul had finished preaching, the Jews of the synagogue, at once the Gentiles came, and they begged Paul to preach the same sermon to them on the next Sabbath. So some of the Jews did not like what Paul had said, but others wanted to hear more. So there's a division coming already. You got two groups. On the next Sabbath, the whole city came to hear the missionaries tell about Jesus. When the Jewish leaders saw the crowds following Paul and Barnabas, they were jealous. To turn the people away, they began to speak unkindly to the missionaries. Paul and Barnabas knew the Jewish leaders. We know what they're doing. They told them, it was necessary that the word of God should be preached to you first. Because when we see you refuse to believe, we will preach to the Gentiles who are eager to hear this one. Man, they want to hear it. They're not like you. So God commanded us to take the light of salvation to the Gentiles, even to the farthest part of the world. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. After many believed in Jesus and the word of God was spread throughout all the region. I mean, it moved like a gasoline lake. It's like somebody struck a match to a gasoline lake, and man, it went quick. For all the laws, for all the opposition, the more it was opposed, the faster it grew. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Afterward, many of them believed in Jesus, and the word of the Lord was spread throughout all the region. But Jewish leaders did not want things to go so well for the Christians. They stirred up bitter feeling toward Paul and Barnabas, and the city officials began to persecute the two. They ordered the missionaries to leave. They're making laws. We order you to leave the city. You got to leave there. You got to go out. But they were not discouraged, for the Holy Spirit had filled their hearts with joy. At Iconium, many of the Jews and Gentiles believed in Jesus, and they were saved for a long time. Paul and Barnabas stayed there and ministered to the people. It's like, man, we got a fire going. We're going to keep feeding this thing. All the time, the unbelieving Jews stirred up trouble. They told things about Paul and Barnabas that were not true. They got people lying about them. Now, we didn't do that. We didn't say that. When people heard these stories, they turned against the missionaries. Soon the Jews and Gentiles were working together to get rid of Paul and Barnabas, and they planned to stone them. Paul and Barnabas found out about their plan, and they went to Lystra to preach the gospel there. It's like God's moving like a freight train. In Acts chapter 14, we kind of pick this up. At Lystra, Paul and Barnabas found idol worshippers who had never heard about the true God. And the missionaries stood in the streets, and they preached to all the people in Greek, a language that everybody understood. How strange the gospel is now preached to the heathens in a language they could understand. God knew this was coming. It's for the Jews. No, we're going to start speaking Greek. We're going to preach in Greek. We're going to go to the Gentiles because the Jews rejected Jesus. Now, not all, but most of them rejected Jesus. God said, fine, I'm going to graft in a whole group of people you've never even heard about. We're going to the Gentiles. And Paul, the greatest minister of the New Testament, was sent to the unbelieving world of Gentiles. And man, he covered a wide space. And things got turned upside down. Again, it says in Acts, those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. So you have to tell the kids, man, when you're reading these stories, you need to understand how incredible this was. It came out of nowhere. It was opposed by not only the Jews, but the Roman centurion. The Romans opposed it. The Jews opposed it. Great opposition, but they couldn't stop it. I mean, the miracle of the gospel, just the fact that it was a simple story. God sent his son to earth to die for mankind. God raised him from the dead. It's a simple story. God's now at the right hand of the Father praying for everybody on this planet. There's so many angels you can't count them, the Bible says. God is ordering our steps, directing our paths, guiding us in all truth. It's the church age. It's the greatest age of human history, and we get to be a part of it. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. We're going to pick this up next time. God bless. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.